Good morning.
Good morning.
We're glad for each one that has come our way this morning. Our attendance is down. I know that, as mentioned there, we have several that are sick, and that's one reason that I'm going to fill in for Jeff this morning. I know Jeff has been at the hospital with Jeannie, I think day and night for the last several days, and he is just exhausted, and so I told him I would help him out, and so I've got a few things I'd like to say this morning, and also I want to mention, let's all make sure we're back here this evening. We're going to have a finger food after our evening service, and that is in honor of our two young men who are graduating, or who did graduate already, Corey and Sawyer. And we got some of our men who's going to read maybe some verses and have some wisdom for these young men as they begin their life in the real world. And so be here tonight for that. I know two or three or four had said, made comments where I got up here, is your lesson short? And I said, you know, I don't know. Somebody even threatened to take my glasses so that I couldn't read what I've got written down. And Corey even made a remark that, are you going to be done before finger food tonight? Yeah, won't take that long. But, you know, I think some of them do know. I am a little long-winded sometimes. And so I'll get started. And I didn't have too awful long to put a whole lot together, but what I did put together, I think, is so very, very important. And I know, as John mentioned in his prayer about the church and about being serious, and this is what I want to try to get across. And I've entitled the lesson, Do You Love the Church? And that's a question that I want to present to you. And I want you to answer that to yourself. Do you love the church? And because if we love the church, each of us need to be very serious about the church. And we need to be serious about, I got four things that we're going to talk about. And we need to be serious about our attendance. We need to be serious about our prayer life. And we need to be serious about our studying of the Bible. And we need to be very serious about our love for God. And so these are some things I want us to think about this morning. And I hope that it will help us to improve in these areas. I know there's always improvement for all of us. And so listen, and I've got some scripture. A lot of the scripture I'm not reading. But do mark them down if you want to take notes. And I ask that you do that and check me to make sure that I am telling you what is correct and that we stay in line with God's Word. But I'm afraid that the church is facing a very, very dangerous time, because these things that we're going to talk about, I think, are lacking in many of our Christians' lives. And the church is, and I say that because the church is, in many places, is not following God's word. There's many changes being made in the church because these things are lacking, I believe, in the many Christians' lives. And if we truly love the church, then each one of us will want to do what God has commanded for us to do. I want to begin with the Apostle Paul, and because the Apostle Paul loved the church. And I know we can see that over in the book of Ephesians, especially in Ephesians chapter 2, there around verse 19, there when Paul compares the church to a building. And if any of us, I know a lot of you know about buildings and or any type of a structure, but the main part of a building, the main part is the foundation in it. That's the most important part. Without a foundation, it'll never stand. Well, Paul compares the church to a building, and Christ, he says, is the foundation. And then in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, he also has another comparison. Paul compares there the church to a body, to the body of Christ, which he says Christ is the head of the body, and we are members of that body. And then on over in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul compares there the relationship of a husband and a wife, and that love bond of a husband and a wife to that of Christ and his church. So Paul loved the church. And also we see Paul's love for the church when he warns us. He warns us of dangers. See, Paul foretold that a time would come when there would be dangers and there would be difficult times in the church. In Acts 20, verse 28, he told the Ephesian elders that grievous wolves would enter in among the flock. They'd come into the church, and he said that they would speak perverse things, things that weren't that was not true. And he said that they would false teachers would come also from in among themselves. They would be in the church. And I know that these are things that the church has always been faced with, but you know, I'm afraid that it's even worse today. And it's going to get worse. So this is why that our attendance and our prayer life and our study of the Bible and our love for God is so important, that we can stand strong, that the church can stand strong, and that it can overcome these difficulties that we face in times ahead. Do you love the church? If the church is to be as God would have it to be, then we need to be concerned about our attendance. This is number one, is our attendance. We need to be concerned about our attendance. You know, many claim to have some kind of a church membership. And if you go out into, I'm sure out in the community here, or even the state of West Virginia, and you do a survey, I think you'd find that most people would say, I have a membership of some church or religious organization. But the problem is, very few attend on a regular basis. And as we know, in most places, most people attend on Sunday mornings. That's when we have our most attendance. And in most places, they're lucky if they get half of those back on Sunday evening. And a whole lot less than that for Wednesday evening service. And there's some places even in the church that they don't have a Sunday evening service. And they don't have a Wednesday evening service because there's not enough to take interest in it. Now that's sad. So what's wrong with that picture? Well, many, I believe, have their priorities wrong. Many fail to put first things first. You see, they don't put God first. Over in Revelations chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, and again, you can look at this. I'm not going to read it, but I want to talk about it just for a minute. But Jesus has a warning there for the church at Ephesus. And the church had been established for many years. And he says that they had left their first love. You see, they lost their zeal. They lost their enthusiasm for the church. And I'm afraid that is what has happened and what is happening in the church today. Many have lost their zeal. And again, I think what happens is we don't put God first. Many put self. They put me. I put me first. And then God. See, we get our priorities wrong. Satan, we let Satan occupy all of our thoughts and our time. And when we leave, when you leave your first love, then it's not hard to leave the church that Jesus loved. In Ephesians 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. There's another danger in an unattended church. That is the effect that it has on others. What kind of example are we leaving to our friends, family, neighbors, our Christian brothers and sisters? If we're not serious, you see, if we're not serious about attending, will they take us serious? See, I don't think they will. God commands worship. In John 4, verse 23, he says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." We need to take worship serious. In Matthew 18, in verse 20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst with them." See, we worship God to enter into His presence. We worship God to learn of His will. See, worship makes us more like God. And we either become more like God or Satan. In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, "Let us provoke one another into love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as we see the day approaching. Worship prepares us for heaven. What about your attendance? Is it as God would have it to be? Think about that. Second, if the church is to be as God would have it to be, we need to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 says, "Pray without ceasing." Now, that don't mean that we have to be praying every minute of the day. But that means that we need to have a prayerful mind, a prayerful attitude, be ready to pray. You know, I'm afraid that many don't pray like they should. You want to know what God can do? Try prayer. We need to develop a prayer life. We need to develop a prayer life in our personal and in our private life. And we, if we can, to develop a prayer life in public, in the church. I know a lot of times there's those that are not able to do that, but if we can, we need to be able to do that, to where we can pray publicly. Over in Acts chapter 1, there beginning in verse 12 down through 14, "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olive, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered and went up into the upper room, and when... where they were staying, Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. And they continued with one accord in prayer and supplications with the women, with Mary and the mother of Jesus, and with her brothers." See, they were all together. They were in one place And they had one purpose. They continued steadfastly in prayer. See, God works when people pray. No wonder 3,000 souls were baptized for the forgiveness of their sins and were added by Christ to the church there in chapter 2. Prayer works. You know, the results are dangerous to the Christian if our prayer life is not what it ought to be. In James chapter 4 and verse 2 says, "Ye have not because ye ask not." You see, a failure to pray robs the Christian of many blessings. In Matthew 7, verse 7, Christ said, "Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you." Our prayer life is a privilege. It's a privilege. It's a relationship that we develop with God. There's a song we often sing, and the words to this song has a lot of meaning. It says, "Oh, how praying rests weary." And isn't that true? In troubled times, and we can go to God in prayer, and the peace of mind that we have. And the writer also says, "And oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we would not carry everything to God in prayer." You ever been guilty of that? You know, I know most of us have. God wants us to come to Him in prayer. In the bad times, in the good times. That's the kind of relationship that we need to have with God in prayer. That we might have a peace of mind. And that prayerfulness that we read about here in God's Word of Christ and the early church. You know, that's not something that we just need to read about it and admire it, but it's something that we need to be doing. It's something that how we need to live, isn't it? Things that we need to do. What about your prayer life? Is it as God would have it to be? Next, we want to talk about studying of the Bible. Because if the church is to be as God would have it to be, we need to study our Bibles. You know, there's no question about whether we believe the Bible. I think for the most part, we are all Bible-believing people. And again, if we done a survey, I think, answer those, if you believe the Bible, I think, for the most part, most people would say, "Yeah, I believe the Bible." But see, that's not the problem, is it? You see, the problem is, we believe the Bible, but we don't take time to read it. We don't take time to study the Bible. You know, isn't it easier just to listen to the preacher? Our teachers, they're always right, aren't they? You know, I'm afraid that many people are being misled because of just that. Because they listen and they accept things that are being taught. We need to search the Scriptures and make sure that those things are true. Parents, I want you to think about something. What effect does this have on your children? You know, and I know by experience that our children grow up fast. You see, they grow up, and Mickey, they go out in this hostile, in this sinful world. And they never have a memory of you, Mom, or you, Dad, sitting, studying and reading your Bible. What kind of example, parents, are we setting? I think we need to think about that. You know, there's an old saying, and most of you have probably heard it, but the old saying is that a Bible that is falling apart belongs to someone who's not. And I believe there's probably a lot of truth to that. And that made me think of an old hymn that some of you have probably have heard, and I remember it. It was one that my mother and my dad often sung. And there's a lot of truth in the words of that hymn, and it's titled the Family Bible. Again, probably most of you may know the words of that song, but let me read it to you here. Just a few of the words. There's a family Bible on the table. Each page is torn and hard to read. But the family Bible on the table will ever keep my keys to memories. At the end of the day, when work was over and when the evening meal was done, Dad would read to us from the family Bible. And we'd count our many blessings one by one. I can see us sitting round the table when from the family Bible, Dad would read. You know, there was a time when a family was a family. And a family would, after maybe end of the day and after the evening meal and before bedtime, they would take time, they would make time to read and to study the Bible. And I think that we've got away from that. I know there in many homes is, I know we have a family Bible that sits there on a table. And I think in for most, in most places that Bible collects some dust. And it's a place to store maybe some important papers. But other than that, I don't think it ever gets opened. But you know, and that's sad. But for the most part, we have our personal Bible. I hope we all do, and I hope we all are using that personal Bible in our homes. And I hope that maybe the cover and the pages after a while will look worn from use of reading and studying our Bible. We need to take time out of our busy schedules, especially with our children, and read our Bibles. You know, the Bible is a love letter. You know, I've heard speakers say that, and I guess maybe I just never really sunk in, but I thinking about this, I thought a lot about that, and you know, it is a love letter, and it is the greatest love letter that was ever written. In it, God saying to you, "I love you." God is saying that I loved you enough to send my only begotten Son. To die on a cross. You see, Jesus left the honor and the glory of heaven to come to this old sinful world, didn't he? He came to this world and he died for our sins. He died for our sins that you and I wouldn't have to burn in that eternal hell. That's what he done. He came to establish his church. You love the church. You see, he gave you and he gave me a plan that we can understand. If you study your Bible, he gave us a spiritual roadmap that will lead us and guide us from this earth to heaven. If we study our Bible, and he's preparing a home for you and me, and he offers all of us his promises and his blessings to keep us on that narrow road that leads us to life. Eternal life. Now, isn't that worth reading your Bibles? In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, you remember Paul's advice there to Timothy? He said, give heed to reading. Give heed to reading. Read your Bibles. Also, we see in Acts 17, verse 11, there the Bereans, that they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things that were being taught were true. Read your Bible. Search the Scriptures to make sure that the things that are taught are true. There's another song that we sang pretty often. It's called Give Me the Bible. And I guess my favorite verse is the second verse of that song. And it goes, probably most of you know the words of the song, but give me the Bible when my heart is broken. When sin and grief have filled my soul with fear, give me the precious words by Jesus spoken. Hold up faith's lamp to show my Savior's near. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. Beautiful words. Study your Bibles. Now last, love. You see, if the church is to be as God would have it to be, we need to have love. We need to show love. You know, there is danger in an unexpressed love. In Mark chapter 12, verses 30 through 31, listen to what Jesus says. He says, and you shall love your neighbor, or you shall love the Lord your God, excuse me, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind. He says, this is the first commandment. And he said the second, like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the neighbor is not the one that lives just next to you, but that's all people. For there's no other commandment greater than these. You see, love has no value unless it is expressed. And I've got to say that the church here at Sandyville has no problem expressing love. You know, we have so many here who no matter what the situation might be, we're always here for one another, caring for one another, taking care of the needs for one another, praying for one another. And we're thankful that we have those that are so faithful in that. And I pray that our love for one another and our love for God will grow with each and every day. Do you love God? When is the last time that you told God, Jesus, I love you? You know, another song that we sang, and it's called My Jesus, I Love Thee. Listen to the words. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of earth I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. When we obey God, we're saying, God, I love you. Christ said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you love God? Do you love the church? What about your attendance? What about your prayer life? What about your study of the Bible? And what about your love? When's the last time that you told God that you loved Him? When's the last time you told your fellow Christian, I love you? You know, these are things that each and every one of us need to take very serious. These are things that we need to think about. But most of all, these are things that we need to do. Do you love the church? I hope you can answer that yes. And I know that, again, that these are things that all of us can improve on. And I hope that we will think about and that we will take those things serious. That we can grow. That we can be a stronger Christian. That we can be a good example. And that we can teach others that the church might grow. That souls might be saved. Now in closing, there's one other thing that I've not mentioned. And it's most important. And that is the unobeyed gospel. See, these other things won't mean a thing if we stand, when we stand before God in judgment, if we've not obeyed the gospel. Now, I know that there are those here that walk through those doors each Lord's Day. And you know what to do in order to be saved. You know, Jesus teaches us that we are to hear His Word. And in hearing His Word, we are to believe His Word. in believing God's word, that we are repentant of our sins, of our wrong in our life. And we are to confess Jesus as the Son of God. And we are to be baptized for the forgiveness of those sins. If you've not done that, our prayer is that you'll do that this morning. And maybe you have. And for some reason, whatever you've left, you've gone back into the world. And you need to make your soul, your life right with God. We'll forgive you. God will forgive you of whatever that wrong is. And you can leave here in a safe position. And maybe it is that the things that we've talked about this morning, that you're struggling in those areas. And you need the prayers of the church for strength, for encouragement. We're here for you. Whatever your needs may be, won't you come while we stand and we sing the invitation song?